you will increase your efficiency 20% if you learn to do the tough things first, the ones you don't want to do.
Ray Zinn now imparts his management philosophy in Tough Things First. In this series, Zinn covers it all, from the essence of human happiness,
adding value, showing that you have value,
to the downside of venture capital.
You will not own the company.
And the essence of entrepreneurial discipline.
If you're going to make it a consistent practice of working Saturdays just because you think you've got to work 80 hours a week to be successful, you're just flat out wrong.
Now here's Ray Zinn, Silicon Valley's longest serving CEO and today's guest host.
So hello, everybody. Welcome again to the Tough Things First podcast. We're here again, as always, with Ray Zinn. And good morning to you, Ray.
Good morning to you, Guy. Thanks for being here today.
Yeah, it's always great to be with you. And today's arguably my favorite of all the podcasts we do from time to time. This is where we're taking questions from people out in the field, people who are attached to you on social media. And if you haven't connected to Ray on social media, by all means do that. You can find him, of course, on Twitter and Facebook and LinkedIn. So let's jump right into it because I think people have fascinating questions. First, what are your thoughts on being a publicly traded company versus a private company? We have a couple of large companies here in the United States making billions of dollars who have never gone public. So what are your general thoughts about, you know, private versus public, and if you had to do it all over again, would you have gone public?
Those are very good questions, Guy, and obviously that all depends upon the motivation and direction that the shareholders or owners of the company expect. So if you are a closely held company, meaning it's like a family-owned company, you're less likely to want to go public. And the reason I say that is because there are a lot of regulations around being a public company. And if your number of investors are very few, in other words, if you just have like family members involved in your company, then, of course, being a public company is more of a hindrance. If, however, you have lots of investors, and in my case, when I ran MyQuell, I allowed the employees to take ownership in the company through offer them stock options, because back in the day, a lot of the golden handcuffs, as you were using stock options. So that's how I got them and attracted them to the company. So if you want to share your and hold on to your employees vis-a-vis stock options, then at some point, you know, you have to take the company public or find some way to make the company more liquid. And there are various ways of doing that other than going public. In my case, most of my competitors and peers that I competed with for these good employees took their company public.
That's interesting, because I know there are a couple of companies, SAS comes to mind, who went a long time nurturing their employees in different ways and never putting that carrot of the stock options out there. And they had tremendously happy employees, but I suspect in a hyper-competitive industry like semiconductors, that had become the norm in the industry and that employees were kind of expecting that that was going to be their big reward down the road.
But I think, Guy, you're thinking about what's happened over the last 4 to 8 years, and the market has been quite different. And back when I went public, you had to be profitable for at least 3 years. These companies that you're referring to haven't been profitable. So it wasn't until, you know, the early 2000s that the market allowed you to take your company public, even though you were not profitable. So some of these companies, these large non-public companies, SAS as you were referring to them, were not profitable, and they weren't prepared to go public because it was hard to value the company without being profitable. It's a much more complicated and difficult task. And they have tried to go public a number of times, but weren't able to achieve the valuations that they needed to make their pre-public investors happy. So they had to keep working at trying to develop a valuation that the market would pay, and yet keep their current shareholders happy. Mm-hmm. So that's the issue there.
Yeah, well, here in Silicon Valley, valuations of some companies, especially some of these unicorn companies, seems to be more of an exercise in fiction writing than it is in financial estimates. So one of the questions that keeps popping up from your fan base and from the people you're connected with on social media are come from the entrepreneurs, and they are struggling with work-life balance. And one fellow was real blunt. He said, you know, my life at home is out of whack because I'm doing so much, so hard to try to keep up with getting my startup profitable. What, you know, you've been down that road and you've seen probably 1,000 other people go down that road. What can the average entrepreneur, the average startup CEO do to try to make sure that they don't ruin their home life while they're pursuing their vision?
Actually, I had this talk with a company that I've invested in. It's a SaaS company. And the two primary owners of the company are working mostly, you know, long hours during the week, and then working Saturdays and even a little bit on Sunday in some cases. I had to have a heart-to-heart talk with them, telling them they're not following my guidance, because without a good supportive wife and family, it's hard to be a good entrepreneur. And I told them that even though they've been around now for a couple of years, I told them that they need to spend more time at home. And I asked them not to work Saturdays. And even though I'm the primary investor in the company, the largest investor, I didn't want them to work Saturdays, and for sure not Sundays. Because, again, I asked them to go to your wife and say, what would you prefer? Would you prefer, and your children, ask them, would you prefer me working Saturdays to building my company, or would you prefer me spending more time with the family? And they both laughed and said, well, sure, they'd love me to be more spend more time at home with them. I said, well, then you should. Absolutely. You need to be able to get your work done during the first 5 days. In my book, Tough Things First, I talk about that. You know, I talk about prioritizing, doing the tough things first. You will increase your efficiency 20% if you learn to do the tough things first, the ones you don't want to do. I was able to not have to work Saturday and Sundays when I started my company, even from day one, and was able to run a very successful company for 37 years. So you don't have to work Saturdays and Sundays to be a successful company. And to be successful, actually, you should not work Saturdays, and for sure not Sunday. Maybe periodically, you know, if you got some special meeting offsite or something, and you need to get everybody together for a Saturday or two, you know, every quarter or so, that's okay. I mean, I understand that, but and your family will understand that. But if you're going to make it a consistent practice of working Saturdays just because you think you've got to work 80 hours a week to be successful, you're just flat out wrong.
Well, I remember you wrote an article for Entrepreneur.com, and I believe the title was An 80-Hour Work Week is Not the Path to Success, and that had the highest readership and the highest rate of comments and the highest rate of, you know, retweets of anything that I've seen that you published. That really resonated with entrepreneurs because they feel like they're killing themselves, and you told them that they probably are not only killing themselves, but they're killing the probability of being successful.
Exactly, and I'm absolutely convinced of it. I've been married 56 years. I've got four children, 22 grandchildren, and five great-grandchildren. And I wouldn't be able to do that and still run my company successfully if I were working, you know, 6 days a week and, let's say, 14 hours a day. It's just not going to work. You can only really effectively work so many hours a day and so many hours a week. I know people say, oh, no, I can work 24/7 and still, you know, have a personal life, but they're just kidding themselves. You know, the Bay Area or the Silicon Valley area has one of the highest divorce rates in the nation. And I think it's because they are just totally out of touch with what it takes to balance family and business.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. I've seen a lot of people burn themselves to a crisp here in the Valley. And by the way, for people who are listening, if you do have a question for Ray Zinn, send an email to social@toughthingsfirst.com. The team will pick it up and we'll put it into our next episode where we're taking questions from Ray's fans. And we have one final question for today, and this one kind of hits close to home for me because I've rarely had to fire people. But there have been many times in my career when I felt that something wasn't right, that something wasn't going to work out, but I never knew when to fire an employee. And that was the question. When do you know that you should fire an employee or even fire a partner if you're a co-founder in a startup?
Well, I was talking to a friend of mine actually just last week, and there's a saying that we both have about each other. We're quick to hire and slow to fire. So this is really really contemporary with my issue that I was discussing with him. He was also a previous CEO and corporate executive. So quick to hire means, you know, we a little too quick to say, okay, you're hired, and then a little too slow to say you're fired. I mean, the apprentice program, you know, they put them through all these exercises, and then, you know, in this case, Donald Trump would point his finger at the person and say, you're fired, you know, if they didn't perform as well. And I was intrigued by that because it's not easy. I don't profess to be a person that can fire people easily. I'm very, very people-centric that way, that I want to feel as part of my responsibility, or that maybe I did something wrong in the way I mentored them or the way I helped them in their work. And I blame myself first before I say, you know, hey, it's the employee's fault. So then I do spend time trying to understand the difficulties the employee has, and then only at that time, actually ask them to leave. I can say that in the 37 years I was running my Crowl, that 90 or 95% of the time when we let people go is because of a reduction in force, not because we actually fired a person that wasn't performing well. So now, you know, you could say, well, then I just had too many people there that should have been fired anyway. But my goal was to give everybody a chance, and if I did hire them, I have a responsibility to see if I can retain them in some fashion. So that's kind of the way I did it. Maybe you're, you know, quick to hire. Maybe I should slow down and do more homework before I hired somebody, so that I don't end up with some dead wood. But I think all people are good. I look at it that way. I always give the people, my employees, the benefit of the doubt, even when I'm interviewing them, and I want them to feel that I'm giving them a fair shake. So if you're finding people that you should fire, you should slow down your hiring and do more homework up front.
Well, we will wrap it up for this episode of the Tough Things First podcast. Again, if you have not connected with Ray on social media, by all means, look into Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn. He's easy to find, and if you do have trouble, go to toughthingsfirst.com and look at the social links up on the top, and you'll track him head down in a heartbeat.
You've been listening to Tough Things First, candid talk with Silicon Valley's longest-serving CEO, Ray Zinn. Drop by the contact page at toughthingsfirst.com for more about the book, more podcasts, and links to Ray's Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn pages to keep up with Ray Zinn's wisdom daily.